Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a vanishing point as we pick up in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Here is the prophecy that Christ has always existed. From everlasting, that could only be said of God. The word everlasting in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. There are two words in the Hebrew that are sort of translated everlasting. The one means the vanishing point, literally. So if you let your mind go back as far as you can, they say that the universe is 10 billion years old. Can you let your mind go back 10 billion years? Can you conceive of 10 billion years? I doubt it, but at least we can accept it as a figure. But what was before the universe came into existence? How far back can your mind take you? Our minds, being finite, can go back. But the further we go back, the narrower the lines get until you get to a vanishing point, and I just can't think beyond that. The vanishing point, that's one of the Hebrew words for everlasting. It's to the vanishing point, where you just can't conceive of anything further back. This particular Hebrew word means beyond the vanishing point. In other words, your mind goes back to the vanishing point and then beyond that, whose goings forth has been from everlasting. From beyond the vanishing point, he's existed. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, when was that? I don't know. Beyond the vanishing point, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then John tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became flesh in Bethlehem, that the prophecy might be fulfilled. And thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been, he's always existed from old, even from the vanishing point and beyond. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. So the Messiah was cut off. Therefore, he will just give them up. Israel was given up in a sense by God. And now we are living in an age in which God is dealing among the Gentiles, drawing out a body of Christ. And such will be the case until Israel again begins to travail, seeking their Messiah, until she which travails has brought forth, and then God's grace and glory will return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand, and this is a prophecy concerning Christ and his relationship to Israel in the kingdom age, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and he shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Remember when Gabriel was talking to Mary concerning the child that was to be born? He said, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So all of this word of Gabriel to Mary tied together with the prophecies of the Old Testament. And this man shall be the peace. He is the peace. In Isaiah, he prophesied, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, the prophet Micah says, for he is our peace. And Paul tells us that in Romans, or in Ephesians, for he is our peace, who has broken down the barriers that used to exist between man and has made us all one together in Him. And there is no real peace until the walls of separation are broken down between men. He is our peace who has broken down these walls. And so the beautiful prophecies concerning Christ. Now, when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and this is, of course, a prophecy of this last day invasion by Russia, and when they shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. You say, who are they? I don't know. We'll find out when it happens. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. And thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. The king of the north in those last days. Not only Russia, but probably also a reference to Armageddon. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. And this is probably the ministry of the 144,000 during the Great Tribulation period. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as the dew from the Lord, freshness and refreshing, as showers upon the grass, that tarry not for man nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, he both treads down and tears in pieces and none can deliver. For thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries and all of thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of the land and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off the witchcraft out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more the soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hands. And I will pluck up your groves, that is the places of worship, of the false gods out of the midst of thee, and so will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. This will be the great tribulation period that we read about in Daniel and from Jesus and from the revelation of John. The period of great tribulation, but I want you to notice something about this great tribulation. God is declaring that in the great tribulation, I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon who? The heathen. It should comfort you to know that God has not appointed us unto wrath. The execution of God's judgment, anger and all, is coming upon the heathen such as they have never experienced or dreamed. Daniel said, and there shall be a time of great trouble, such as never existed from the beginning. Jesus said, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been before or will ever be again, as they refer to this great tribulation period. Now, notice that during this time, the instruments that God is using are the Jews, not the church. His faithful remnant among the Jews will be God's instruments of witness upon the earth during the great tribulation. The church will have been translated and will be with the Lord in glory, enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed is he who is called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus said, pray ye always that you'll escape the things that are going to come to pass upon the earth and that you will be standing before the Son of Man. And we read in Revelation chapter 5, as there is this scroll in heaven, the title deed to the earth in the right hand of the Father, as he sits upon the throne, and the angel proclaims with a loud voice, who is worthy to take this scroll and break the seals? And John begins to sob because no one is found worthy in heaven and earth or even under the sea to take the scroll and loose the seals. But the elder says, don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the scroll and loose the seals. And John said, I turned and I saw him as a lamb that had been slaughtered. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne. And when he did, The 24 elders came forth with little golden vials that were full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they offered them up before the Lord, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and loose the seals, for he was slain, and he has redeemed us by his blood out of all of the nations and tongues and tribes and people. And he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we will reign with him upon the earth." Standing before the Son of God, that's where I want to be. Not down here, as God is pouring out his anger and vengeance upon the heathen, but standing with the children of God there before the throne. Hear ye now what the Lord says, "Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people," still his people, after all of this, "what have I done unto you?" And listen to God's pleading with the people. God says, "What have I done? What have I done wrong? What have I done against you? And wherein have I wearied you? Go ahead and tell me, witness against me. Give a testimony against me. What have I done? Where have I wearied you? For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you out of the house of servants. I took you from bondage and from slavery. You were nothing but a bunch of slaves. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, the king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." Now, he says, go back and read the prophecies of Balaam. When Balak the king said, "Come and curse these people." And so he said, "Build me an altar." And he built an altar. And as he began to look over the tents of Jacob, he began to declare, "Oh, how beautiful are the tents of Jacob. Oh, how glorious is their Redeemer. Oh, that I may die the death of Jacob." And he began to declare the glory. And the king said, "Shut up. I don't want you to bless him. I want you to curse him." And he took him to another mountain, build another altar. He said, "Now go back and read what I had to say about you. Read the blessings that I declared concerning you." And God is saying, go back and read them. So you ought to go back when you get home tonight in Numbers and read the prophecies of Balaam concerning Israel. "Oh, my people, remember now the words that were spoken through Balaam, that you may know how righteous I have been towards you. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? How can I approach God?" the prophet is saying. "Will the Lord be pleased with if I should offer 1,000 rams or 10,000 of rivers of oil? What can I offer to God as a sacrifice for all of God's blessings and goodness? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Should I offer my own son to God? What can I do? What does God want of me? What does God require of me?" And the prophet answers, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Just to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You say, well, that doesn't sound so bad, but look at it again. God requires that you do justly. Have you always done the right thing? Have you always been fair and honest? Have you never cheated in a deal? Have you never concealed or hid a part of the truth? Well, scratch that one off. To love mercy. Do you really love mercy? Do you really love to just forgive and say, oh, forget it, it doesn't really matter? That's all right. Or do you love to get even? Do you go around saying, hey, I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I do? You just wait. I'll get even. And to walk humbly with thy God. Six things God hates. Yea, there are seven that are an abomination. Now, I don't really know what an abomination is, but it sounds bad. Unto him. Top of the list of the things that God hates are an abomination. The top of the list is a proud look. Pride goes before destruction, the Lord said, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God hates the pride of men. God wants you to walk humbly with him. That's what God requires. That's what God insists upon. But I have failed. I have not walked humbly before the Lord. I have not loved mercy. I have not done justly. What does God want? 1,000 rams? Rivers of oil? What can I give to God? What does God want from me? What does God require? He doesn't require 1,000 rams. He doesn't require rivers of oil to be offered in sacrifice. All he says is, hey, I've shown you the good way. Just do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Well, Lord, I can't even do that. What now do you require? They came to Jesus and said, what must we do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Just believe on him whom he has sent. All right, I can handle that. That I can do. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So God's actual requirement for us tonight is just to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, as our own Lord and Savior. And by your believing in him, he will come into your life. He'll begin to indwell your life, and he will begin to give you the power to do justly. He will begin to transform your heart to where you'll love mercy. And as you look upon his face, there's no way you could be proud, but you'll walk humbly before the Lord. So, God's requirements. The prophet is crying out, what can I do? Does God want me to give him my firstborn son? Rivers of oil? Whatever. What does God require? And the Lord answers, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. This is what God requires. The Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there not yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? Doesn't God hate the scant measure that is abominable? I was reading one time where a baker filed a suit against the farmer in court in England. And in his suit, he charged that the farmer was continually giving him less butter as he sold it to him. He said, when he first started out selling me butter, he gave me a true pound of butter. But gradually, he has been giving me less and less butter for the pound until now, he's only giving me about 12 ounces of butter and charging me for a pound. The farmer, in his own defense, said to the judge, sir, I only have balance scales to measure the butter. And he said, I always take the baker's pound loaf of bread and put it on the scale to weigh the butter. God speaks here against the scant measures that are abomination unto him. And then those who have a bag full of deceitful weights. Now, they used the balance scales, and they had deceitful weights. They had one set of weights that they would buy with and another set that they would sell with. Deceitful weights, bag full of deceit. God said, I hate that. dishonesty in dealing with our brothers. What a violation that is to the law of God, where Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What a violation to that law to cheat or to defraud my brother, to use deceitfulness in dealing with him. For the rich men are full of violence, he declares. The inhabitants have spoken lies. Their tongues are deceitful. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee and in making thee desolate because of your sins. For you will eat but not be satisfied. And how true this is of a man who gives himself over to unbridled lust. He eats but he is never satisfied. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but you will not deliver, and that which you delivered you will give up to the sword. For you will sow, but you will not reap. Someone else will reap the benefits of all of your efforts and work.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Micah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Micah 5 through 6 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful week. May you be filled with the power of His Holy Spirit. And may you indeed walk in love, that kind of love that comes from God, that overcomes every obstacle and barrier that is built up against it. May you truly love those that hate you and do good unto those that despitefully use you, and thus truly demonstrate the traits and the qualities of the children of the King. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Come study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's over 600 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on a 16 gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any other listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto any keyring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.